All right. We are the Independent, 88.5 FM here in Southern California. We've been doing a number of these Zoom meetings with artists since we all went into quarantine. Today we have Pete Yorn on the other screen. How are things, and where are you right now?
I'm in Palm Desert, California. It's 100 and it's been like this crazy heat wave. I know it's been warm back in LA and Santa Monica. Normally we live in Santa Monica, but I've been out in the desert trying to just keep away, keep a low profile since March, and just going through this crazy heat wave. It's been like 118 every day.
That's nuts. Do you go out there often for inspiration or to be in seclusion to get creative?
I can get creative anywhere. I really just come here to be a little less population density where I am. So that's really what it is right now.
That sounds really nice, actually. PeteYorn.com is the website. We've been playing a few tracks off the record Caretakers since it came out. Songs like Calm Down and I Want to Be the One. Probably right around the release of the record, you came in and had an appearance on the Nick Harcourt Morning Show, which was cool. And then the first time I saw you play, maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, at the music conference in Boulder, Colorado. And you played a bunch of songs from the new record, and it was the Pete Yorn Trio, if I remember correctly. Does that sound about right?
No, if it was it last year? For
I think
Caretaker?
So, yeah, at the Fox Theater.
It was the first time that I played with my new band, with Daywave at the time. And I remember it was really exciting because I was excited to play the songs for the first time and to play with a band for the first time. And it was in front of, you know, a bunch of radio peeps. And I remember it was good to just get out there and just do it, get it under our belt, get a show under our belt, you know, but it was fun.
Yeah, man, people, you know, playing in front of a room of a bunch of radio people is, you know, sometimes it's different, but people were raving about that performance. One memorable thing for me is that you were wearing your Space Shuttle Endeavor t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
Today I got my Mr. Rogers tee.
Have you been on a buying spree like myself, sometimes late at night, since the stores are closed, we'll just do some e-commerce?
Yeah, I had to kind of shut it down. I was ordering too many like things. But when I came to the desert, I didn't have that many t-shirts, and I started doing these live streams on like my Instagram and on Facebook. And I realized I just like was wearing the same t-shirts every time. So I needed to expand my quiver.
Well, I've been right. Your arsenal or whatever. I've been telling people that, you know, in this economy, shows have come to a screeching halt. So if you want to support artists, you know, go to the websites, buy the merch, get the t-shirts, buy the records. And I've certainly been buying a lot of graphic tees lately. Speaking of live streaming and doing a bunch of internet stuff, you've embraced it, it seems like. Is this the general aesthetic of what people get for the live streams, Pete Yorn in a room with a mic?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to work with. I have a nice microphone, and I have right now, this is, you know, we're doing this on Zoom, so this is just it's a little, my paid live streams are a little bit higher quality for sure, as far as just the stream and the video. But most of them I've been just doing for free on Facebook, and I got like 17 quarantine series live shows, little live mini shows that I've done that are all archived on my Instagram TV and on my Facebook. But I have, yeah. I did a live stream on July 25th of Music for the Morning After. I played the whole record in its entirety. And then I'm gonna do Day I Forgot, my second record, in its entirety on August 30th on this site called Veeps. And it was pretty cool. It was fun to play that other record. And this record should be fun too. So it's like a trip down memory lane with some songs I haven't played in a while.
Yeah, that's cool. And people could get into the Q&A session as well if they have any burning questions for you.
Yeah, there's two Q&A. There's a Q&A before and a Q&A after. And it's done like this, actually, via Zoom. And it's cool. And it works. And it's interesting to hear what people want to talk about. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm like, you know, a lot of people are cool going out. They go to restaurants. They go do a lot of stuff. I'm not, I don't have, my comfort zone's very small. And I just think I'm just laying low until there's a little bit of good news that, you know, that something's going the right direction. So
yeah,
I'm just really been laying low. So it's a nice way to connect with people.
My my bubble has been quite small as well. It's good and it's bad. Years from now, I want to look back at this and not think how frustrated I was, but how great it was to get extra family time in, you know?
Yeah, that's why I try that's and the focus idea. On. Yeah, try and focus on that, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, every day, like one day is cool and your headspace is like you have the energy to dig into family and do all that. And then I don't know how old your kids are or kid or but like, you know, and then some days you just don't. You're just like, I got to make a craft for the 50th time today. I can't do it. You know, and you just like and you feel bad because you want to do it. Or you want to, and you're just like, dude, I just need to like sit here and like play golf on my phone. Like, just leave me alone for a minute. Like, I just need to have like just some me time, you know? It's funny, man. There's this show called Daniel Tiger. My kid's four.
Sure.
And there's a show called Daniel Tiger, which is actually made by the people who did Mr. Rogers. And we had it on the background the other day, and all of a sudden, it's like, you know, and they always tackle tough subjects. And there's a new episode and they're like, Daniel, daddy's trying to work. I know I'm home right now, but I have to work and I'm frustrated because you want to play with me, but I'm not here to play. I'm here to work right now. And I was like, this is it. This is hilarious. And you know, whatever, my work is music, but you know, everyone has their time that they need to get their stuff done, you know, whatever that is, with paying bills, whatever the heck it is. And I think when your kids are little, they think you're just there all the time, you know, and most days it's okay. But like, sometimes you're just like, all right, go do something, go do something else.
Yeah, man. Lots of Sesame Street, lots of Daniel Tiger, lots of Play-Doh on the home front here. It's been crazy. the song, The World, that's not on the record. Caretakers, right?
No, that's newer than Caretakers. Yeah,
so that's essentially a quarantine song, if you will.
Yeah, right now it's part of an EP, a two song split single. There's that and there's a song called Janine, that's the other song on the single. And I think that those are probably early songs that are going to make up the next record, you know.
Did you want to play that first?
Sure.
Or did you have other plans?
I got no plan.
All right, cool.
Everything, you know, a lot of times, like I like my personality loves routine in some ways. And now everything is so Groundhog's Day that like, I'm up for anything that's different. Just do things in a different order, you know,
put on my
left shoe first instead of my right. You know,
wow,
whatever.
You're really stepping out.
Whatever it is, man. All right, I hope this sounds okay. I'm sure you hear that all the time. That's what everyone says on the live stream. Is it working? Does it sound okay? Okay. All right, this is called The World. The world is a beautiful place, even though I don't like it sometimes. Seeing what you get, you don't know what you're expecting. You're running from the things that I know you've been rejecting. The world is a beautiful place, even though I don't like it sometimes. The world is a fun place, even though it makes me sad sometimes. Seeing what you get, you don't know what to expect. You're in the game, so you know that you can't complain. The world is a fun place, even though it makes me sad sometimes. It makes me sad sometimes. Oh, it makes me sad sometimes. It makes me sad sometimes. Drive.
Incredible. There you go. That's our version of The World by Pete Yorn here on 88.5 FM, changing the view of the screen here. Pretty low budget video for that song, right? Who came up with the concept for that?
I just shot it in my, where I'm at, in the house, on my iPhone. I opened up in the washing machine. Yeah. And then pulled out from there and just walked down my hall. And, you know, it's kind of a nostalgic song, the feeling in it. And you know, it's really about having to take the good with the bad and everything that you can't be avoided, you know. And I just walked down this long corridor, and it has pictures of my family, faded pictures from when we're younger, and old weddings and old bar mitzvahs and just stuff from an earlier time. And it, with the music, it just hit. I put it together and it just hit me pretty hard, and I sent it to my family and they all liked it, and I was like, all right, there's the video.
I was going to ask you that. Your family must love that video, and you talk about tugging at your heartstrings, man. That does it right there, you know, with the pictures of family members on the walls and stuff. You make me want to up my photo game here.
Yeah, I feel like anyone can make their own video for the world with, around their house. Just put the song on and shoot the pictures of their family, and they'll probably get the same feeling I got. You know. Mm-hmm.
What else have you been doing while you've been in quarantine? Are you reading books? Or are you working on your art? Writing some new music?
Mostly, probably by far, it's mostly just like taking care of the house, taking care of B. You know, it's a full-time gig. I don't, like, we don't have nannies or housekeepers, nothing like that. So we got to just kind of handle all that. So something gets, and I don't like a mess building up. So I'm always doing dishes, you know, a lot of that sort of stuff, which is cool. And it's been a while now, you know, like I've been in here since March 3rd for the most part.
Wow.
And, my hair is getting long, and I draw with my little girl. I draw Barneys. I've been doing this series of Barneys that I post on my Instagram. If you want to check them out, there a lot of people think it's my daughter, but it's me. And they're crude, but they're fun. Something to do. What else have I been doing? Been watching shows at night, you know, like in bed on headphones, just on my iPhone, like just binged a few seasons of different things. My wife watched, she started Lost again from the beginning and watched the whole Lost.
Wow.
All the way from the beginning. She said it was great, that it held up for her, even knowing how it ended. I'm psyched that Hard Knocks started on HBO. It's like, it's covering the Rams and the Chargers this year. And it's interesting to see NFL training camp, you know, during COVID. They've only had one episode so far. There might be a new episode tonight, I think, actually. But it's interesting to see, you know, how, you know, like, I've never seen like a test before, how it gets done. I've just heard it gets shoved up your nose and it's really uncomfortable. And so they showed all that, and you see these big football players getting squirrely, you know,
yeah,
about it. But what else have I been doing? I've been trying to, you know, try to just not go cuckoo. You know, we eat everything at home. Like, we don't even order food in. Like, that's how tweaky we are. Like, we just, like, I just, like, I don't know. Other members of my family have a little bit lower tolerance for things than I have, but I'm just kind of like, I was already a little bit of a germaphobe, so this is really, really, it's like, it's not appetizing to me to just, like, have a waiter with a mask on. Like, I don't even, like, just, not into it, you know?
No, yeah, I'll walk around my neighborhood sometimes just to get out, and I'm just amazed and kind of appalled, to be honest with you, to see all of the people congregating together, even if it's an outdoor sort of restaurant, you know? It's really unbelievable. I actually saw my folks for the first time last weekend. We all took COVID tests, and thankfully we did the drive-through, which was the less intrusive sort of brain swab. It was the, you know, just the nasal thing, thankfully. I was nervous about that, man.
Yeah, I heard it's not a good time. I heard good news, though, that there's this new Yale test that's supposed to be really accurate, that's just a mouth swab. And it was actually partly funded by the NBA Basketball Association. And I hear on from some good people that I respect that it's actually a really good test, and hopefully that's going to become much more. And it's cheaper, too, for them, and faster. It's really quick. It's a rapid test. And hopefully that's going to become the standard, or it'll be much more accessible for people so they can just find out quick, and it's not this, like, you know, brain poke.
Yeah, man, it's about time we roll that out. Are you consuming music in the household? Is your child around music all the time, or is that something you want to discourage your kid from, like, getting into the music business type of thing? Are you streaming? Are you playing records?
We play. She, you know, she's got her little playlist of songs that we crank. She, you know, there's, like, the Disney movie. She loves a bunch of those songs. She likes to sit behind the piano and just kind of mess around. And I remember when I was a kid, like, that's what I did. I didn't have the patience to, like, be taught anything. And she seems to be the same way with music. Like, I tried to teach her, like, come on, B, sit with me. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Come on, you know, do, 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 do. Just the first one. And she was like, couldn't even focus for that. But she's really good at focusing at other things. And I figure, you know, I'll just follow her wherever she wants to go. She's so cool and has such a good energy and vibe that, like, I'm not worried about her. I feel like she's just going to, like, do whatever she does, and it's going to be interesting. I did just watch a cool documentary on the Go-Go's on Showtime. I really like the Go-Go's, and it was nice to see a formal documentary on that band and learn some things I didn't know about them. And I finished that last night. That was cool. I watched a great Frank Sinatra documentary.
Nice.
It was, like, I think it came out a few years ago and was on HBO, but now it's on Netflix. And that was awesome. It was like a good 2.5 hour, 3 hour full-on documentary, and it was great to see. It got me emotional a few times.
Wow.
A lot of stuff in there. But yeah, good. I like good music documentaries.
It's crazy that you haven't even have the time. I might be good for a 30-minute episode after young Harriet goes to bed. It's crazy.
Oh yeah. I watch these things over, like, 5 nights. Like,
right.
Yeah. Like, it's not, it's after in bed, you know, it's headphones in the dark on my iPhone. You know, that's what's going on there.
Yeah. You told the story about, the fact that you almost gave up music a while ago. Is that true? And what were some of the factors that sort of reinvigorated you?
Yeah, I mean, this was before I ever, you know, put out my first record. This was probably in 1998, 99, maybe. But I'd been playing around town, and I was just frustrated. I think I'd moved out to LA when I was 21, in 1996, and it was probably like 98, and it was just, you know, you take a shot at something, and it's a long shot, you know. And I think that I was just, maybe might have just been a bad moment for me, I don't know. But I remember specifically telling my friend, whose nickname's Chauncey, I said, and I knew him since second grade. We had grown up in Jersey together, and he moved out to California too. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm, I don't know if I'm going to keep going at this, if, you know. And he said, he literally threw me on the grass. He said, you got to do this. You're doing this for us. Come on. What are you talking about? You know? And I always had, you know, I have two older brothers who always had my back too. Even when my parents were like, shouldn't Peter get a real job? You know, like they were like, you don't know what you're talking about. He's going to be great. Blah, blah, blah. So they backed me up. But I remember this one moment where I was feeling kind of just down and kind of over it. And Chauncey threw me down. He said, no, you're going to do this. And that gave me a little extra wind in my sails. And I kept going. And then things did start to click. And, you know, I'm still trying my hand at this thing 20 plus years later or something like that.
Do you find that sometimes you have to kind of pinch yourself when you think about all the stuff that you've done, all the catalog of music and this career?
Yeah, sometimes it like sneaks up on me. Like when I was doing the live stream for Music for the Morning After, and I was like, it was triggering so many memories, especially playing the record in order. And how much time had gone by, and have the perspective on that. Yeah, it could tweak you out a little bit, but you know, you just kind of, I remember thinking like, you know, cause I was supposed to go to law school, and I remember thinking, well, I'll try music for a couple of years, and if it doesn't work, then I'll just go to law school. And I remember thinking, I don't want to be 30 and don't have a record deal. I remember I was probably like 20, 23, 24, thinking like, if I hit 30 and I don't have a record deal, I'm done. My life is over. You know, I remember that's the way I would think back then. And luckily I got signed. You know, you had to get signed back then because you weren't getting your music out any other way, really. You know, it was pre-file sharing and stuff.
Right.
Right before Napster hit. But I remember, you know, I got signed at like, I was like 26. I think it was my 26th birthday.
Incredible.
And yeah, I'm glad it didn't happen when I was like 19, 18, 19, because I probably would have not had the maturity to approach it in a somewhat decent way, you know?
Right.
So by the time I was 26, I was kind of all biz. I was very focused, and I think I was better then. I was better than I was when I was 18 or 19 or 20. I got better. I kept working at it.
Couple more questions. I was also told that you might perform a song off Music for the Morning After as well. But I guess we'll see. I wanted to ask you about your relationship with this Jackson Phillips character. That's who helped produce the last record, from what I understand. And you guys just captured lightning in a bottle, man. And that artist is known as Daywave, or
Daywave is his band name and his project's name, you know. So he is what he goes as, but his name's Jackson Phillips, which is a great name in itself. Yeah, he's so talented. He's just, we met at a birthday party a few years ago, and he had been on my radar a little bit, and he told me he grew up listening to my music. His older sister was into my stuff, and
wow, we
had a lot of the same musical touchstones, even though he was, you know, a good probably 20 years younger than me. It was one of those things, right when we got together, we just hit it off, you know. And I love that guy dearly. He's just such a great partner in the studio. Has such great ideas, so easygoing, egoless person, and we work really well together. Every time we get in a room together, we make something new, and that's The World and Janine, my other single, and it's one of those things. It feels good.
That's cool. And he was part of that band that I saw at the Fox Theater in Boulder, right?
Yeah, he was. That band back of me was Daywave's live band, and he was the one playing guitar and synth and the Juno synth. Yeah,
I think he helped produce an artist we did an interview with a couple of weeks ago, Hazel English, as well, who put out a pretty good record.
That's how I heard of him. Because Andy Bell from Ride tweeted Hazel English a few years ago on her first record, the one that Jackson produced. And I was like, who's this? Let me check it out. And I was like, oh, wow, I love this Hazel English, who's also really nice, who I've met through Jackson since. She actually sings very quiet background vocals on Calm Down. If you listen, you'll hear her very subtle blended
in. That's incredible.
In the chorus. But that's how I heard, because of Hazel English and Ride, one of my favorite bands. Andy Bell tweeted something about her. And then I was studying Hazel English and realized that she was produced by a guy named Daywave. And then Daywave puts out a record on Harvest Records. And my side band, The Olms, was on Harvest Records. It was their first release when they reformed the label. And so I followed Harvest Records on Instagram. And so I was following their feed, and all of a sudden I see Daywave, and I'm like, oh, and then I'm at a party, and I'm like, hey, it's that guy Daywave. And then we became buddies. So
wow,
it was all like meant. It was written in the stars.
Yeah, the stars aligned for that one. I was told you might play a version of Life on a Chain.
I'll play whatever. I don't care. You want to hear that?
I would love to. I would love to.
All right, we can do that.
Nice.
I'll do it in the key of G. This guitar, in case anyone's wondering, is tuned down half a step. So as I got older, my voice is getting a little deeper. So I like to be a half step down normally, but I'll do this in the natural key that I was recorded in, if anyone wants to play along. I live on a chain. Share the same last name as a Joe. Send a bottle of whiskey as you chose. He said it made you feel dirty. Yeah, I was waiting over here till life began. Looking for a new thing. You were the sun.
Front line, just around the corner from me.
That's cool. Life on the chain, done at a undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. Pete Bjorn.
With puzzles.
It's perfect, man. I'm telling you, this is my home studio / bedroom as well. You know, last question, the cover art, the cover photo for Caretakers. It's a striking picture. It's artful. Where is that? And who took the picture?
My wife shot the picture, Beth, the bird. And she shot it in Brazil. It's Diabo Beach. It's near Rio. And it's this beautiful beach way down there. And I was going back and forth with how I wanted the cover to be. Do I want to be on it? Do I not want to be on it? And then someone had the idea. My friend Ian had the idea. He's like, why don't you use one of Beth's pictures? It could be really cool. And I was like, oh, and I was like, Beth, send me some of your stuff. And she sent me like four different photos, and they're all nature. And I just really love the feel of that one, the one on the Brazilian beach, and ended up being the cover.
It's cool. I just wondered what the story was behind it. It's a great photo, and it's almost like a song where, as a songwriter or a photographer, you might take a picture, write a song, and think something in your own head, and then the observer or the listener, you know, has their own interpretation. Like, you could write a song and there could be 100 listeners and they could all interpret the song in a different way. You know, the same goes for photography, you know.
Yeah, I think why that picture resonated with the Caretakers theme and the songs for me was, you know, you see it's a surf beach, so you see all these surfers out in the water and you see the expanse of the bay there and you see all these people, and then there's a lot. I think what I liked about it was the unknown, which was what's underneath the surface of the water and everything that could be under there that we don't see. But I also liked how there were a lot of people together, and it symbolized a lot of things for me. And it symbolized stuff that was in the record, and taking care of each other and being responsible for the people in your life and stepping up to be that way. And so, I don't know, for some reason, the picture just evoked all that for me. So
incredible. Again, PeteYorn.com is the website. There's a lot of vinyl, a lot of previously released records available up on your website if people want to get a hold of that. Now I know you personally, and, you know, God willing, next time we'll be able to do it, you know, in studio or something.
Absolutely. We got to.
Right on, man. Take care of your fam.
Thanks, Mookie. You too, man. All
right.
Best.
You got it. See you later.
Okay. Take care.